Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
One of the great doctrines in the Bible is the doctrine of eternal security. Eternal security. It is the doctrine that once you have been born again, God secures your salvation so that you are guaranteed to be in heaven. Now, there are a lot of people who don't believe in eternal security, and there are a lot of people who do believe in eternal security, but they couldn't show you more than one or two verses to indicate why they believe in eternal security. So the purpose of this message today is primarily to help those who believe in eternal security to understand the scriptures well enough to see why eternal security is so. The other purpose is to help those who don't believe in eternal security to see the verses in the Bible that speak of eternal security. And keep in mind, as we go through these verses, resist the opportunity to "yeah, but." In other words, whenever I've had a discussion with individuals who don't believe in eternal security, I'll show them one verse, and before we have the opportunity to show them the rest of the verses that I'm going to show you today, they'll say, "Yeah, but what about this verse?" When you, "Yeah, but what about this verse," then that means you're not listening to the verse that you're seeing. Okay? And it's important to see all of the verses and how they relate together that concern eternal security. And then after you have seen those and digested those and read those and studied those, then we can deal with the "yeah, but" verses. And we will deal with those. We don't have time to deal with them today, but we will deal with those. So resist that temptation to defeat the counsel of a verse of Scripture that is speaking about eternal security, okay, until you have fully understood that verse. And then the next verse and the next verse and the next verse. And after all of those, consider what you've seen. Today, when we speak of eternal security, let's start with a verse that's very simple. John chapter 3 and verse 16. And let's see what it says. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, a lot of times people know that verse and kind of skip over some of what it says. And that's why we started this study with this verse. God so loved the world that he gave not eternal life, he gave his Son, his only begotten Son. That's the gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. All right, and the result of receiving the gift of his Son is that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, when you read that verse, to have everlasting life is to have it in possession now. Or at least that's what you would think. You might be a little bit questionable on it when it says should have eternal life or should not perish, because that gives you the idea that that's God's intention, that you not perish, but that you could do something to lose your salvation and then you would perish. Okay, and that may influence your thinking on have everlasting life. So let's look at another verse of Scripture and see whether when you receive His Son, when you receive the gift or accept the gift of His Son, whether you currently possess everlasting life or whether that's something that you hope to get in the future. Okay, so let's go to 1 John chapter 5, and let's see. Let's see what you get when you receive Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5. And let's begin reading with verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So yes, you do have eternal life now as a present or current possession because you have His Son. And when you have His Son, you have His Son's life. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse 12 goes on to say, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Before we get to verse 13, which is a very important verse in 1 John chapter 5, let's see what this means, hath the Son, okay? John, now the Gospel of John, not the Epistle of John, John chapter 1, look at verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received Him. All right. You are presented with gifts from time to time, perhaps at a birthday, maybe at a special occasion. You receive gifts or you are given gifts. Those gifts are of no effect in your life until you receive them. So God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but for that gift to be effectual, you have to receive it. So John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. So you receive His Son by believing on His name. And there is a birth. That's why you become the Son of God, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. All right, so there is how you have the new birth, when you receive Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. God gave the gift of His Son. When you receive, okay, Jesus Christ, then He gives you eternal life, and that life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things, John said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now look what he said here. He said, when you receive Jesus Christ, you know that you have eternal life. You don't hope that you have eternal life. You don't suppose that you have eternal life. You don't think that you have eternal life. He says that you may know that ye have present possession, eternal life. Do you see that? Now, just a simple little review where we are on these verses. John 3:16 says, God gave His only begotten Son. John 1:12 and 13 says, when you receive that, He gives you power to become the Son of God. You're born of God. You then therefore have eternal life because this life is in His Son. And when you have the Son, you know that you have eternal life, that you have it as a current possession. Do you see that? Now, if you have eternal life, which the Bible says you do, and you know it by the Scripture, then that must mean that you have already passed from death into life, because this was something you didn't have before. So turn to John chapter 5 and look at verse 24. John chapter 5 and look at verse 24. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," watch it, "hath everlasting life." Current possession. "Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed," present perfect, "is passed from death unto life." So what's happened is that you have already passed, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have already passed from the death that kills men and keeps them in the grave into or unto life. When you have everlasting life, you have a life that doesn't end when your physical life stops. It keeps on going. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when you are absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. How is that possible? Well, the way that is possible is found in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You have passed from death unto life, according to John chapter 5, verse 24, and shall not come into condemnation. Okay? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 3, 4, and 5 says this: "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ," well, that's another study, but being baptized into Jesus Christ is something that happens to you by the Spirit of God the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." So yes, you have entered into his death when the Holy Spirit baptized you into Jesus Christ. And the reason you have passed from death unto life is that Jesus Christ died in your place and rose again. So you are the current possessor of his resurrected life. You are walking in newness of life. You are in the likeness of his resurrection. That means that you are the current possessor of eternal life, and your physical death will have no effect whatsoever on the continuation of the eternal life you currently possess. It will not stop. Absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Now notice something else. Not only are you the current possessor of eternal life, not only do you know that you have that eternal life when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only have you passed already from death unto life through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you are secure in Jesus Christ. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. In other words, there are some things that the Lord has done to secure this eternal life that you have, so that you can't lose it or change your condition. John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Again, when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the gift of God's only begotten Son, and when you receive the gift of God's only begotten Son, you get the eternal life that comes with him. So I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So God deadbolts the door, if you will, and double locks it. And he says, no, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, and they're not going to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So this security is that you're in Christ, but in being in Christ, you are held in his hand and wrapped in the Father's hand. An old-time preacher said, if the devil ever wanted to get to me, he'd have to pry the fingers of God Almighty off of me. And I don't believe he can do that. But if he could, then he would have to pry the fingers of the Lord Jesus Christ off of me. And if he already lost the battle with Jesus Christ at Calvary, he certainly won't be able to do that. But if he could, then the next thing he'd have to do is go through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to get to me. And by the time the devil has gone through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to get to me, he'd be a saved devil. Now, I like that guy's reasoning. He's not going to get you out. No man can get you out of the Lord's hand or out of his Father's hand. You're secure. Jesus has just given you that to let you know you are secure in him. But not only that, I'll tell you, the whole Trinity gets involved in your eternal security. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 13, verse 12 for the context. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom, that is in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You say, now what is all that about? Well, the main thing here to see is you have been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So you are in the hand of Jesus, wrapped in the hand of God Almighty and sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And nobody can break that seal. That seal, that Holy Spirit of promise, is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. What is earnest? Earnest is a thing intended as a promise of what is to come. So the Holy Spirit is given to you now as a promise of what is to come. What is to come is the redemption of the purchased possession. What happens at the redemption of the purchased possession? You get a glorified body. And he says, the installment that I'm going to pay to you now to confirm the contract is my Holy Spirit. And when you have him, you are sealed. And he is the earnest, I will make good on my contract. Now think about it. If God didn't make good on his contract, you still have the Spirit. If you have the Spirit, you're born again. John 3:3. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You're still born again. You don't lose that. Do you see? So quickly we'll review and then we'll add some things. Jesus said, or God said, that he gave you his Son, his only begotten Son. And when you have him, you have his eternal life, according to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13, and you know it. And that life indicates that you have already passed from death unto life through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you do die physically, you will be present with the Lord and alive. You are in Jesus' hand, you are in the Father's hand, and you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, the earnest of our inheritance. And it goes all the way until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, because of those things that you have just seen, God then says what he says in a few other verses. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look what he says. And he's going to make good on this promise. He doesn't lie. God cannot lie. Men can lie. Men can twist doctrine. Men can teach false doctrine. But God doesn't lie. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Lord says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." So be content with the eternal life you have. "For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Now, did God say that? He said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Then can you ever think of a time that he would, when he said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee"? Well, of course you can't think of a time when he would, because he said he never will. But, you know, there are people that will read that and they won't believe what God said. Don't be hasty to "yeah, but." As we said at the beginning of this broadcast, I know you want us to go right over and look at a verse of Scripture that seems to contradict that. Don't go so fast to the other verse of Scripture until you realize what the one you just looked at says. He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Let me give you another one, because the Bible says, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established." So go to John chapter 6 and look at verse 37. John chapter 6 and look at verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do you realize what you're reading here? He's not talking about not casting out somebody that finally makes it to heaven. He's talking about those that have been given to me of the Father, I should lose nothing. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Now, you're thinking in your mind, well, certainly if you did this, he'd cast you out. He said in no wise. He said in no wise. And what you want to realize is that in the doctrine of eternal security, if you believed it but didn't understand why, this verse will give you great comfort. And if you didn't believe it and you want to show us why not, then you won't look at the verse that you've just seen and meditate on what it says, because your mind is so quickly thinking about what you want to say against it. I'm not interested in studying Bible with somebody who will not look at and understand the verse he is reading, because his mind is clouded by what he already believes, and because he's so hasty to want to show you another verse of Scripture in order to refute what the Bible clearly says. That's not Bible study. That's Bible ignorance, and that's pride. Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Your argument is not with me. Your argument is with the Bible, and your argument is with the Lord Jesus Christ. He made that promise. In one place he said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In this place he said, "I will in no wise cast him out." But let's look at it again, because Romans chapter 8 also has something to say to this doctrine. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's nothing in death, nothing in life. Angels can't do it. Principalities can't do it. Powers can't do it. Things going on right now can't do it. Things that are coming can't do it. Things that are above you can't do it. Things that are below you can't do it. Neither nor any other creature, including the devil, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing in the universe that can separate you from his love when you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is eternal security. God gave his son. When you receive his son, you receive his life. His life is eternal life. It is your current possession. You have passed from death unto life. You are already living in his resurrected life. When you die, you will be present with the Lord. You are secure in the hand of Jesus Christ, secure in the hand of God the Father, and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Therefore God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore Jesus said, I will in no wise cast thee out. And therefore Paul said, there is nothing in the universe that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. That is eternal security. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.